It's a blessing to be here. Young people, you can go to your class. If you have a Bible, Acts chapter 26 today. Acts chapter 26. I haven't preached for 2 weeks. And usually that means it's a long sermon. Amen? Two amens. I was just kidding. It was a test. Amen. But Acts chapter 26. We're going to look at one word today through the scriptures. It's the word almost. There's a story about it in Acts 26. There's some other scriptures that have that too. I love word studies. Like I mentioned, if you go through grace in the scriptures, or even the word if, or just any word, you pick a word and you run it through the scripture, you'll see the context of the story. You'll see it being used. You'll see it being practical. And almost is, somebody said it's, what, only good in horseshoes and grenades, hand grenades? But there's a lot to this word, a lot to this word. And you know, our Lord has delivered us from so many things, has He not? Been so good to us. He's saved our soul. He's put us on the right path. And on that path, sometimes it gets thorny and hard and rough. All kinds of enemies out there. But by the words of thy mouth, I have kept thee from the paths of the destroyer. God has done that for us. Thank God for the Bible. But let's begin reading. This is Paul's ministry. We're going to look at verse 18 and read down through the chapter. But this is what God called the Apostle Paul to do. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's a great verse. There's a lot there, a lot of profit there. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, Paul is before the king. He's being examined. This is going to ultimately send him to Rome, where he's going to die. But showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say. Paul is witnessing. He's using his words to affect this king. The Bible says in verse 23 that Christ should suffer and that he should be first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus with a loud voice said, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning hath made thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Paul again is speaking. I'm drawing your attention to that because that's how we communicate. Amen. We communicate by words. You don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. But if we're honest, we communicate with words. That's what God does. He's given us His Word. He communicates with us. When we pray, we communicate with God. The Bible goes on and says, let me see, verse 26. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. After all of that dialogue, after Paul's wonderful testimony, after the power of that word that he's speaking to Agrippa, Agrippa says, almost. You know, people come to church and there's a message prepared and then God gets in the message and leads however he wants. But it is God speaking. Paul told those Christians at Thessalonica, we thank God that when you heard the word from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe it. And so Paul was preaching to them and they grew. They had a wonderful testimony. They served the Lord and loved the Lord because the word of God had an effect. It seems like the word of God did not have an effect here on this man. So he said, almost. He came close. One preacher said, Judas kissed the door to heaven and died and went to hell. And he had heard all of those words from our precious Lord. So today, it's the burden of my heart. I know it's the burden of the Lord that as his word goes forth, it won't be almost for us. It will be God speaking to us that we can be like him. Amen. Let's pray and ask God's help. Father, we love you. We appreciate your son so much. Thank you for our salvation today. Thank you that we love your word. Thank you that it helps us, it protects us, it guides us. And I pray what we hear today, Lord, would be a blessing to us, to others, and to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It's a great, great truth. Almost means within an inch of, pretty much, just about, as opposed to absolutely, completely, entirely. There are good almost. Boy, I almost got in an accident. That's a good almost. Amen? Boy, I almost made a wrong turn. Boy, I almost did this. And so there are good ones and there are bad ones. The Lions almost won the Super Bowl. Amen? So there's good ones and there's bad ones. And we all know where you come to that point of decision and you're going to make a decision. That's why it's almost. After all of somebody speaking, you just process all those words and you see what is true and then you make a decision on that. We should never be almost in love with the Lord. Amen. Almost dedicated to him. We ought to serve him with our whole heart fervently. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know, so I'm persuaded. I am of that persuasion. Paul wrote the Romans in 14:5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And so there's a lot of decisions to be made anytime you hear the word of God or read the word of God. But you have to be persuaded in your own mind. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And the truth has to find a way into your heart. And then when we believe it by faith, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When we apply that, when that is real in our life, it changes how we live. Doctrine does that. We have in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So we have a written word of God. That's God speaking to us. And when we believe that, that guides us to eternal life. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is at Corinth. And he's on one of his missionary journeys. And Corinth was a wicked, wicked city. They used to have a term called Corinthianized. If something was Corinthianized, it was made vile. And so they used that, and that was associated with that city. It was just a very, very wicked place. And Paul went there, and all they wanted to do is hear some new thing. There were philosophers, and there were all of these different people that were coming up with all kinds of ideas about eternity, about God, who God is. And they had made all of these idols down a road. And for every God they could think of, but they had one for the unknown God. Here's an idol, and it says, to the unknown God, in case they missed one. They didn't want to miss that. And Paul began to preach to them. And he preached about the unknown God, but he preached that it was Jesus Christ. And it was an amazing, amazing testimony for him. And the Bible says toward the end of that chapter, some mocked, small results. Some mocked, some said, we'll hear thee again, and some believed. So you have mockers and believers, only a few believers, but in the middle was, we'll hear thee again. Almost coming to a decision. Almost going to laugh about it, mock it, reject it, or make the decision and believe. Amen? And most people land in that middle group. They just land in, well, you know, almost, but not dedicated enough. I don't know if you've ever called God a liar. You ever called God a liar? Probably not, right? Because only the devil's a liar. John, what is it, 8:44? What is that verse, Richard? The devil was a liar from the beginning, and the truth abode not in him, and he was a father of lies, it says in that verse. But it is impossible for God to lie. Scripture tells us that. And the Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. And so we come to the Bible. It's not ours to say what's true or not true. That is true. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. And so we have the truth. Amen. It's what we do with the truth. You ever watch these commercials and they're always advertising vitamins or something. Somebody's advertising. If you take this pill, this will happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen. If you buy this car, you'll be popular. No, you might just be poor, you know. And so there's always something coming at us to buy this or join this or do this or this is the answer. And a lot of those things are not true at all. Amen? I don't know if you've ever been duped by any of that. But when we come to the Scripture, whether we understand it or not, it is all true. And we should follow it explicitly. In the beginning, God created creation. Boy, there's a lot of choices about this, aren't there? And somebody says, well, we came from monkeys. You like the little song, I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. You know, and there's all kinds of ideas of how things were created. The Big Bang Theory, you know, the bang, and then all the planets were there. That is so ridiculous. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. It's so easy to believe the Bible. Amen. We know that God spoke, and He spoke the worlds into existence. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were made by the Word of God. By the Word of God. So the Word of God tells us how everything came to be. Mine is to believe that. And if I believe that, there's so many blessings for me. Salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only Jesus Christ. Amen? There is nothing you add to it, nothing you take away from it. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is eternity. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What happens to some people? Well, you know, I read about reincarnation. Boy, that sounds pretty good. It sounds terrible to me. You could come back like a rat, and maybe you're already a rat. I don't know. But you could come back worse off than you are, you know. But again, you go to the Scriptures and you find that that is not true. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The Apostle Paul. The power of God on him, the word of God coming forth from him. He gave everything he had to King Agrippa. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's amazing. Two chapters before this, in Acts chapter 24, Paul is dealing with a man by the name of Felix. He's a governor. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call thee. Almost. Paul is talking to him. He's talking back to Paul. But he says, not now. Some other time. There's a song that we sing it's in our hymnal, Almost Persuaded. And this is some of the words to it. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. And the songwriter put both of those men in that song. And years of ministry, I've met a lot of people. What is it, Luke chapter 23, the two thieves on the cross? I've met, not those men, but I have met people that were typical of those men. I've seen two thieves on the cross. I've seen him mocking, and one mocked until he died. But I've seen the one mocker who got right. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I've seen that. I've seen that in people. I have seen, again, not the people in the always these people, but people that typify them. I've met the rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16. Two men went into the temple to pray. The one was a rich man, the one was Lazarus. He was a poor man. And the rich man said, man, I thank God I'm not like him. I do this right, this right. I've seen people like that. And they compared themselves among themselves, but they are not wise by doing that. And they look at somebody else and they say, I'm better than them. That has no relevance about eternal life. It has no relevance about forgiveness. And they look down on the other. And this man that was a sinner, he would barely lift up his eyes toward heaven. And he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man shall go home justified. Amen. I've seen those people. I have met the Philippian jailer, not again the jailer himself, but people like that. In Acts chapter 16, this was a hard man. He was the jailer in a Roman jail. They beat people. They put Paul and Silas in stocks. We're going to kill him the next day. This was a hard man. And you know the story. There was an earthquake. He came in trembling. And he said, what must I do to be saved? I've seen that in people. Some of the meanest people I've ever known got saved. Amen? I told stories about Hippo and about Mike that I worked with and how they cussed out and told terrible jokes about the Lord. But then God ministered and it melted their hearts. It's a blessing. I met the woman at the well. John chapter 4. She was debating a little bit with the Lord Jesus Christ. He must needs go through Samaria. That was a meeting that had to take place. By the way, I heard there was a homeless man that was in church last week. He must needs go through Samaria. Boy, it's a good thing to have a church right on the main road, is it not? And he got the gospel. What a wonderful thing to rejoice in. I wish I had been here. Amen. You miss those times because it's always God working. But he wants to work today. Amen. He wants to do something today. And it really worked in her life. There are real stories about real people that typify in the scriptures. David Jeremiah, his program is called Turning Point. So we're responsible for everything we hear of the truth from the Word of God. What are we going to do with that truth? How many people almost got saved? How many people fell away and almost never came back, but they did? Psalm 73. I'm tempted to read some of this, but I'm not going to do that. You can read that later. It's one of my favorite psalms. David is saying, I looked at the rich and they were so foolish, but they had everything they wanted. They had all the money. They didn't have problems in the world, etc., etc. And he said, how foolish am I? How foolish am I for wanting what they want? It comes down through the psalm and he says, I have the Lord. They don't have the Lord. I'm better off than they are. And we look at that, but here's what he said. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. My feet were almost gone. I almost got away from the Lord. I almost went down a different road. I almost turned away from God because I wanted what the world had. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present evil world. And it's not about money. Life is not about money. Amen? The money gets us through. It helps us serve the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us all about money. That's truth. This is about how can I be used of Almighty God, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor. That's not success in life, spiritually. Amen? But what can I do for Almighty God? We have in Proverbs 5:14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. This is a believer in God. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. Boy, I struggled with what to put down for that. Eliot wrote, the offender's eyes are now open and he shudders at the thought of still greater troubles into which he might in his infatuation of falling. Matthew Henry said, Solomon cautions all young men as his children to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's seven churches in Revelation, and God addresses all of them. There are good things to commend them for, but there's things that correct them for. And it says, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. And so the Word of God speaks and corrects the church, does he not? He guides the church. He tells us what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. You have Corinth, you have Ephesus, Galatia, Colossae, Philippi. And these are all places in the epistles where God is trying to speak to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Paul says, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. The church is the bride. And Paul said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Amen. The words of the Lord are pure words. James 3:17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy, sown in peace of them that make peace. You walk through those doors, you ought to feel the peace of God. Amen? That's the spirit that ought to be here. Not a spirit of pride or contempt or discord or bitterness. Those things should not be in a church. Amen? You can say amen to that. Amen? Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the spirit of the church. I am rejoicing in how you responded to that man coming last week. That is a blessing, where you reached out, where you approached him, where he ate with us, amen, and where he heard the gospel. He felt the Lord. That's what people ought to feel when they come to church. Not you bug me or I'm critical of you or amen. You know, we ought to love one another with a pure heart fervently. These things are true in the Bible. And this is what God is telling us to do. Almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. 1 Timothy 6:4. Strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Boy, that's a big one. There's a lot of examples of that in the Bible. Evil surmisings. Evil suspicions. Wonder why they didn't shake my hand. Maybe they were thinking of something else. Amen? I wonder why this. I wonder why that. Well, I bet you they're thinking this. And you got to be careful about that. Amen? And even if they are thinking something evil of you, think good of them. We don't overcome good with evil. We overcome evil with good. Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. What in the world is that? What is concupiscence? And covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are evil desires in the midst of the congregation of the assembly. Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Speak evil of no man. Let it not once be named among you. So we don't, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, I never did like him. Yeah, I thought that was really out there in left field. And you got to be careful about that. Because your perception might not be the truth. But your perception can ruin somebody else's perception about somebody. I mean, it's just, this is how the devil gets in. He sows those seeds. And evil communications corrupt good manners. All it has to be is a little seed there. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. This is the scripture. Thus saith the Lord. Okay, who's speaking? God is speaking. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Oh, you're too old-fashioned. Well, maybe we're not too old-fashioned. Maybe we're just standing in the old ways. Maybe we're just trying to do the right thing. The world is going, what Bob Jones Sr. say? Senior, I don't know if you know who that is, but he said, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And they're going to hell so fast you can't see them for the dust. That was preaching. Amen? Billy Sunday, some of those great preachers in the revival age, amen? They just took the truth and gave people the truth. And people responded to the truth. People that wanted the truth flocked to that. Amen? But the world is heading this direction. And it is away from God. And you got to be careful. I know I've illustrated this before. But if the world is here and the church is here, I'm not like the world. But if the world starts getting worse and I am like what the world used to be, I'm still not like the world, but I'm getting worldly. And then the world goes over here. They have gone pretty far. Amen? And I don't think they're stopping there. And we don't want to keep getting closer and closer to them. We want to ask for the old paths, the old paths. There's nothing wrong with some contemporary singing. There's nothing wrong with it. I've been here 7 years. Seems like 20, I know. But when I came, I said, I'm conservative. I'm just conservative. And we like a hymn book. These are great songs. There are other great songs. But that's why we do what we do. Amen? And everybody said, yeah, you do whatever. I remember, Candy, you sat right in the back. And you said, Pastor, you do whatever you want to do. God bless you, Candy. God bless you. But, I mean, the old paths. The old paths. Amen? But here's the rest of the verse. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And that's what you have. This is a Bible church. Amen? Let me get to this. There's a song by Philip Bliss, Hold the Fort. Have you ever heard that song? It's not in your songbook. But, oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky, reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on, mighty ones around us falling, courage almost gone. But listen to the rest of the verse. See the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow, in our leader's name we triumph over every foe. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. And the chorus is, hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace, we will. In Sturgis, when we would sing that song, our people in Sturgis brought their own Bibles. We have pew Bibles, but those aren't your Bibles. You have a Bible at home. One that you underline things under, one that you have notes. You ought to bring that Bible to church. Amen? And 200-300 people waving their Bibles. When they left their home, their neighbors saw them bringing a Bible to the car. When people drive by, people see people walking to church with a Bible. Because sometimes we read a portion of Scripture, and I know this by example or experience. I've been in church without my Bible and the preacher's reading, and if I'm not reading along with them, I'm losing it. I'm losing a lot of it. And there's nothing wrong with marking your Bible or putting a star by it or a date by it or say, God spoke to me on this day. But bring a Bible to church. Amen? But I mean, 200-300 people going like this with the Bible. You say, well, that's kind of childish. We had fun. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will, with the word of God. It's important to do those things, I believe. Almost all evil. Today we all come to a fork in the road. Choose you this day whom you will serve, because we've heard the word. Amen? We've heard what God wants to say to us. Almost thou persuadest me to lay up treasure in heaven, to witness and win souls, to live a holy life. I almost signed up to clean the church. Almost. That's supposed to be a joke. I'm supposed to laugh at that. Very good, very good. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. Does that make sense? Elijah said that. If God is God, serve God. If Baal is God, serve Baal. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's the book of James. James also said, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. So we give the word of God out. Moses said, who is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. Jesus said, there's a narrow way and there's a wide way. Walk the narrow path. We accept or we reject. We follow or we forsake. No decision is a decision. No decision is a decision. It's a decision not to do something. Almost. How how close we come sometimes when God speaks. Amen. Not me, just God. If it's in the Bible, then we ought to do it. We ought to follow it. Acts chapter 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Boy, those are three pretty weighty subjects. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. There was power, very, very much power in that word. And Felix answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." No record of him ever calling for Paul again. There's an opportunity. Trust me with this. I've been preaching for a number of years. There's an opportunity in a service where God speaks. And he speaks to you in particular. You might not get the whole message. You might get one point, and God might focus that one thing that was said from the scripture. That is the time to make the decision. That is the time to grow in grace and knowledge. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. We come to hear this, a Bible church. Amen? We come to church to hear the Word of God. We want God to speak to us. Again, the Thessalonians. We thank God when you heard the Word, you heard it not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Every time we get together, we ought to hear something. Every time you read your Bible at home, you're going to hear God speak. That's how you grow. That's how you're profitable for the Lord. It's so precious. We find in Acts 26, 28, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Amen? We have no idea. And sometimes when we turn from the Lord and we say some other time, then our heart gets hard, just like Pharaoh. And then we're not able to receive it again. In the Bible, there are three Gospels that have a story about the seed and the sower. And it's talking about the seed, which is the Word of God. Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Amen. It's God's Word. And the seed is the Word of God. And so the sower is throwing the seed, just like we're doing today. But there's four types of ground. And only one type of ground receives the seed. And then it grows and it brings forth fruit. And our fruit, oh my, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Amen? And those things are produced by following the Word. And, you know, even fruit is souls, winning souls for Christ. How many people have we almost witnessed to? Well, you know, it's just not the right time. You know, maybe a more convenient time. When God is trying to connect somebody. Amen? You know the time you want to miss church? Nah, you want to go today? No, I'm too tired. You know, I'll just sleep a little longer. That might be the service for you. That might be the message for you. I won't go into anything, but 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted in the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now. What God wants to do is work in your heart now. Work in your heart today. Said a lot of Bible stories, a lot of Bible verses. I don't know which ones you picked out. I don't know which ones God picked out for you. But I guarantee you, He did something. If we come and we just preach and nothing ever happens, that's a real affront to God. That's a real bad testimony. Amen. We ought to be different. Holiness. Righteous living. Sharing our faith. Supporting the church. Praying one for another. All the one another verses. Comfort one another. Love one another. That's what people ought to feel when they walk through the doors. Amen. It ought to be that way. And God is doing everything within his power to get that accomplished here. I was thinking as I was sitting there and Cheryl was playing, excellent, always an excellent job. Always the right song, if you know the songs. Always the right song. And I was looking, and there were still some people straggling in, which is great. You could come now. Amen. And we don't want you to ever not come to church because you're running late. But I was thinking, maybe we need to put some more chairs in here pretty soon. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And I know this is on YouTube, but what is there? 420 people here today? Something like that. You know, something like that. But it'd be a blessing. Be a blessing. And maybe that's how God is going to, however He wants to do it. Amen? It's His Word, and He's speaking to us. I hope He spoke to you today. I've seen, too, in 45 years of preaching, I've seen people that were in church and were doing everything, but they didn't know the Lord as their Savior. And there were some people that were like that here, and they got saved. Don't ever say no to the Spirit of God if He's revealing that you really aren't saved, truly. Then you need to trust Christ as your Savior. That will change your life and it will change your eternity. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truth. I pray today that we would all receive it and it would change our lives and please You, Lord. May we walk in the truth. May we worship in truth. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's